Well, what are crucial items for schools, parents, students to be aware of where before school resumes? Big question we ask. We talk to attorney Kara Rosen on the line. Kara, good morning to you on behalf of Clark Hill. Good day.
Good day. Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
I imagine this is quite a busy time for you, a Grand Rapids attorney, of course, advising numerous school districts here on this side of the state, a variety of issues and concerns. So is this, as they say in our business, your beat?
It is. Yes, I've been representing school districts for over 12 years now, and with Clark Hill for just over four. And this has definitely been a busy time with us, with our education practice group, and with our clients, Michigan school districts of all over the state. We've coined the term, our clients have been on a corona coaster, the yes. ups and downs of instruction and how they've changed since mid-March and what they're going to look like when we get back in the fall.
And on this roller coaster, keep your hands on the bar. Don't let go. Here we go. Let's get right into some conversation, if we can, Kara. First of all, can you talk about the key points from the governor's executive order 2020-142 that maybe haven't been covered yet?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's June 30th was a big day for all of us in the education world with the release of EO 142 and the roadmap. And since then, it's pretty much been dissected line by line. You know, we had a 90-minute webinar, our firm, that had over 500 school participants on it 2 weeks ago. And, you know, there's a lot in there. There's a lot that still remains. But, you know, the key points are the preparedness plan and the different levels of plans that districts must have in place to outline what the next school year is going to look like in the fall and how districts, how that plan is going to allow districts to pivot a little bit, hopefully more seamlessly than they were forced to back in mid-March. So lots to go into it, but those preparedness plans, now we have a lot more time to prepare them and to utilize our stakeholders and staff to help collaborate with those plans. So I think that those are going to be the key points to get out to our parents, to our students, and our communities so everyone has a little bit more comfort with what their school district and school is going to look like in the fall.
When are the benchmark dates that must be adhered to here?
Yeah, there's mainly two of them. The first one is the earlier of two, and it's either August 15th. These plans must be approved by each district's Board of Education or 7 days prior to the first day of school. For most schools, that will be that August 15th. So that's, you know, right around the corner. And then by August 17th, our intermediate school districts must collect all the approved plans from the local school districts and all school districts and ISDs, then must have that plan on their website to post so parents, students, community members know what that three-facet plan for each of the phases looks like for the fall. So those are the two dates which are right around the corner.
Yes, all right, back to legal perspective. Can you educate us to what is required versus strongly recommended versus recommended?
Sure. So in the roadmap, there are three designations, required, strongly recommended, and recommended. And EO 142 requires school districts to include the required components in their plan. For example, in phase four, which we're in here in Grand Rapids and most of the state except the UP and Traverse City are in, under health and safety screening procedures, it's required that districts cooperate and collaborate with their local health department in forming and putting these health and safety screening procedures in place. And that's a non-negotiable, we call it. That must be in your plan. If it's not, the board should not approve it. Now, there's strongly recommended and recommended components in the roadmap. For example, social distancing is only strongly recommended and not required. And now I know some clients are going to try to do social distancing to the greatest extent possible, But for some districts, that won't be too feasible just because the amount of the kids in the classroom, the size of the facilities, you know, so that's not required to be in your plan, especially since face coverings are required. So the task force in explaining that said they felt the face covering being a requirement was more important than the social distancing aspect. And if you don't include any of the strongly required in your plan, under EO 42, you have to identify that and say that you're not including that. And then you get the recommended, which are still, you know, very important and very good recommendations, but they are at an even lesser level that a district has to, you know, consider and or adopt. They could, but if they don't adopt them, they don't even have to mention them in their plan. So three tiers, you know, a red, yellow, and green, and the requireds are the non-negotiables, because those are the things that are going to keep our students, our staff, the most safe, and to allow for the most effective kinds of in-person instruction, which, you know, a lot of districts are really trying to get in phase four.
How are you answering the question, Kara Rosen, on behalf of Clark Hill? What should students expect when returning to school?
Not the same as when they left it, bottom line. You know, in our work environment, you know, I'm sitting at home right now in my home office, and work environments have changed. You know, that is going to be the same with schools. School is going to look different. We're going to have face coverings, and we're going to have plexiglass up. We're going to have social distancing to the extent required. And a lot of these things are going to be very new and very different to our kiddos, especially the younger ones. So, you know, we've been telling districts to start communicating these things early and often so parents can start talking to their kids about what to expect. It's going to look weird. It's going to look different, but, you know, it's going to be the best things that we can do to allow those kids to really get back to some kind of structure, getting back to seeing their friends, getting back to doing activities safely. Because, you know, I don't have kids myself, but a lot of my friends do, and a lot of them miss that after a while. So it's going to look different. But we're going to do the best we can with it, because all facets of life right now are definitely different.
And, of course, what does your answer to a teacher who asks, what new responsibilities will I have?
Yeah, and that's going to depend on the district, you know. I think a teacher's underlying most important responsibility for instruction is going to remain, right? Because whatever phase we're in, there's going to be some aspect of instruction, whether it be remote, virtual, in person. So that's not going to change. We need our teachers for that. But there may be other types of responsibilities that teachers may have to take on that, you know, districts will talk about before they get into the buildings. Staff, other staff, non-teaching staff, you know, especially if, you know, we move backwards before forwards and we're not in buildings. Some of those staff, you know, their job duties and responsibilities rely on being in person in the building. So as we know, under EO 142, if we revert back to phase three, the district can redeploy staff, you know, including teaching staff and parapros and lunchroom assistants to other meaningful work to accomplish their goals in the preparedness plan under that phase. So it'll look different with every district, that's for sure. But that's one of the things the districts are talking with their teachers, talking with their staff as to how their positions, how their work schedules will look like in each of the different phases. So there's no surprise, right? There's no pulling the rug out from under you, kind of how we felt back in mid-March when all of this took a turn really quickly. So hopefully those conversations are being had now so everyone's prepared for when we're back in session.
What is your motivation for the student? If you had to have a one-on-one with somebody who cares and wants to do the right thing as we approach a new season, Kara?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the motivation for all of this is this has to be a collaborative effort. This has to be an effort between all stakeholders of school districts. We need input from parents, from students, from staff, in order to be successful in any of the phases under the preparedness plan. And, you know, we're building the plane in the air while it's flying. So there has to be some patience as schools work through the issues that are going to arise because, you know, I tell clients all the time, there's nothing that we can look back to say, what do we do last time in this situation? Or, you know, what is the case law say on this? We're literally creating this as we go. So there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be challenges, but school districts and the community have to come together to face those. And that's really the best advice I can give to students, parents, staff members, administrators, everyone. That this is a group effort, everyone. So we got to push forward as a group.
Big hat you wear answering the right questions. Kara Rosen, Clark Hill, Grand Rapids attorney, advising, of course, numerous school districts on our side of the state on a variety of issues and concerns. How do we find out more information?
So if you go on our webpage, clarkhill.com, we have a COVID-19 link on that page, and that has all of our resources and all of our different practice groups. Education is one of them, labor and employment, business, all of the different industries, and all of our e-alerts are on there. So articles we've pushed out about executive orders and guidance, all of our webinars are on there. So anyone in the school realm that is interested in the 90-minute webinar we did a couple weeks ago on EO 142 and the roadmap, it's on there, the recording and the PowerPoint. We want the community and clients to be able to have these resources. So they're all on our website under the COVID-19 resources link.
Keep up the energy and motivation for students, parents, teachers, administration, and our own West Michigan community. Thank you, Carol.